I'm glad, praise God, that he did it all. That song blessed my heart. Oh, the singing's good, man. That really revved up. Listen, that kind of singing's got oil in it. See, and that'll grease all your squeaks, praise God. Everybody's got a few squeaks they need greased up. And so, praise the Lord, that'll help you. Now, here we see in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, says, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I'll open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. I want to bring to you a little message tonight, I pray, that'll help us before there was a world. Father, in Jesus' name, there'll be no preaching unless the Holy Spirit does it. Lord, I pray divine intervention, would you please? Would you touch our hearts together as in one accord, that we'd all just listen to the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. I pray, Lord, we can lay down our burdens at your feet. I pray, Lord God, thank you that we have access to the throne of grace. There we can put those burdens down and go away knowing that you're going to take care of business as we trust and trust you alone. We bless you now and praise you in Jesus' name. Would you bless this church? Would you bless it abundantly, more than it's ever been blessed? Lord, I pray for that. I ask for it. Every preacher, every singer, every person that it takes to run all this facility and all that goes on with the mission board and all these things, I pray divine help from heaven. Lord, would you bless in Jesus' name, give many souls, and amen. Now, before there was a world, I want you to focus in on that one verse there, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. You understand that Jesus didn't have to come down here to get down here. Amen, because he's already here. Praise God. Yeah, he was already doing business, praise God, because he's in on this thing from the beginning, and we want to see some things that might help us. Some I've been asked before, where did God come from? He ain't never been anywhere to come from anywhere. He's God. He's always been, always will be. If he had a starting place, it's a possibility he might have a stopping place. But he doesn't have a beginning. He don't have an end. He's all eternal. When we get in on it, we become eternal. Hallelujah. And he came to become us that we might become him. Oh, what a Savior that he is. So we see then, when we think about this, Jesus came down with a harvest in his mind. Jesus came down to help and to do his ministry as the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our sacrifice. Praise God forever and today. So I want us to see, number one, before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. Long before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, 19, 20 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Hey, the greatest, I'm an illustrator. I illustrate all the time. Every preacher illustrates something. And the greatest illustration that I know, there's three of them. The three greatest illustrations, were Jesus come to Calvary's cross. Yeah. That Jesus died on that cross. Yeah. And that Jesus rose again on the third day. Yeah. That's the greatest illustrations I could ever tell anybody. Praise God for the Savior that came to earth. How do we know this? The Bible teaches us. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 said that he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Praise God for the lamb. Then John came along, chapter 1, verse John, first chapter of John, verse 29. And as John was baptizing just after he had just had said, There's one coming after me whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unlatch. And all of a sudden, someone looked over at him while he was preaching on repentance. He said, who is that coming down the riverbank? John said, behold, how the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. There he is. That's the one I was talking about the other day. Hey, a preacher can reminisce on the things he preached about. And old John can reminisce. He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was a lamb sent, the Bible teaches us in John chapter 1, verse 29. He was also a lamb spoken of in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Said that Satan would bruise thy head with the cross. That's what it is speaking of, alluding to. But thou shalt bruise his heel with the resurrection. Praise God. There's a dear old lady up in West Virginia. Well, she's in heaven right now. She had one of the brightest testimonies I ever heard. I love to get to hear the preacher when he'd say, Sister Queenie, would you give your testimony? Sister Queenie would stand up in her big black lace dress, gold hat, and gold shoes, and gold gloves. She'd stand up with her Bible up to her breast, and she'd look up and she'd say, though my body be part and parcel of the earth, and though I be lost at sea, and nobody ever find my remains, and though I be burned, nothing they find of Sister Queenie, it's just a little pile of ashes. Still there ain't no grave gonna hold his body down. He got up, I'm gonna get up. Praise God. If I don't get up, he said, she'd say, my ancestors went down singing the wrong song. He said, but he's gonna get up and I'm gonna get up. Folks, we're gonna get up. We're getting out of here. We're pulling out of here on come up hither. Praise God. We're getting out of our table spread from sky to sky. Glory to God. And we're going to that place. Isn't it wonderful that he has a place prepared for his children? Oh, what good would God be if he didn't have a place prepared for his children? What kind of a God is that? That's the kind of God that have dead, that have died and never come up again. Amen. But we've got one that resurrected. Hallelujah. And we'll see it all one of these days. Praise the Lord. John chapter 1 in Genesis. Remember, in Genesis chapter 1, it tells there, said, for God created the heavens and the earth. John picked it up in the first chapter of John and said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah, what a Savior that we have. So he's here. Praise God. But he went on to say in verse 11 and 12 of that first chapter in John, he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm glad I believed. Are you glad you believed? I'm glad I believed. Hallelujah. And I love good singing and I love good preaching. I'll travel a long way just to hear good singing and good preaching. Praise God. I love it. Don't you? So he's a lamb slain, he's a lamb sent, and a lamb spoken of. Praise God. Ain't that a blessing to us? Then now look here. Now before there's a sinner, there's a Savior. Before there's any guilt, there was grace. Somebody said, yeah, well, we're in the grace dispensation. Hey, if you got God, he's been in grace all his life. And that's eternity, amen? There's always been grace. There was grace in the Old Testament. There's grace in the New Testament. There's grace for us now. There's grace aplenty. There's a well of grace. And God gave you a checkbook and says, write you a check when you need it. You got a lost youngin', then write you a check. You got some lost grandbabies, write you a check on grace. And go get them, praise God. There's our mission field. Going out, going on. We're going up one of these days. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Before there's ever any guilt, there was grace. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders of fathers, murders of mothers, for manslayers. Oh, that wonderful grace of God. Before there was ever any guilt, there was the grace of God. Praise God, isn't that wonderful that God made a provision before man ever strayed? And when Adam and Eve fell, God began to voice down through the ages of eternity to the prophets and to the men and women of old, as they went out prophesying, as they went out telling the story, as they went out talking of God. And there were some bumps in the road all down the way, because something had to come in to take care of all the laws that were laid down. And there was one on the way. They didn't know what it was. They knew somewhere down the road there was going to be a cross. They had no idea it was a cross, that they knew there was a deliverer. God showed himself to Moses and Elijah and Ruth, and right on and on and on. He showed himself plain everywhere and beckoned to his children, beckoned to them, be ye reconciled unto me. That's our message. Be ye reconciled. He did it for all coming down the pike. Amen. And then before man sinned, because the Bible teaches us all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. That was all of us. Praise God. We're unworthy people. It's been said already tonight. We're unworthy. But oh, how he loved you and me. Oh, how he did love us. He really, really, really does love you. Amen. He loves us with a love that we just can't even grasp. Praise God. Not only the ones that have strayed and the ones that have sinned, but the one before man's separation. Remember, sin tears apart, but grace puts it back together again. That's what grace does. Hallelujah. That's why a grace is called amazing. Amen. I like it, don't you? You ask that old boy in John chapter 9, who was born blind and the fuss was made over him. Who did it? Did he sin? Was it his parent? Who did this and who did what? And on they went. And finally, the old boy spoke up, I think, over in John 9, chapter verse 29, I believe it was, somewhere along 25, I think, where he said there, he said it like this, like I say it. Now, I don't know all that went on when I got saved. October the 14th, 1966, 15 minutes till midnight, on a Friday night at my daddy's house in a little town called Matheny, West Virginia, while the Holy Ghost of God was on his way to somebody else, heard me cry. He just heard my cry, put on his brakes and come down to where I was at. And daddy said, son, see my wife go over on my left side. Daddy got in on the right side and Jesus got on my inside. I've been singing Justified ever since. Praise God. When he come in on the scene, daddy said, look here, son, I want you to look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He said, put your name right there. And for the first time, I was an old drunk, an old gutter drunk. And for the first time, I realized that God would come to the gutter to get me out of that mess. Oh, what a mess I was in. And I rose up and I said, Daddy, it says, for God so loved me, Tommy. When I said that, business picked up right there. I said, oh, God, I don't want to go to hell. And God and all the holy angels clapped their hands and said, you don't have to. Amen. Praise God. Listen, and that's been good ever since. I didn't know anything about the Roman road, the Philippians bypass, or the Ephesians overhaul. I didn't know any of that. But praise God, I got in. I've been singing on in as I go along, and I've been preaching I'm in all along the way. Praise God. Before there's ever any guilt, there was the mighty grace of God. Hallelujah for the grace of God. Bless his holy name. Call time out and shout amen. Praise God for his wonderful name. Before there was any guilt, there was grace. Before there was guilty Tom Malum, there was the grace of God. And I leaned over on that grace. And by his wonderful mercy, he came to me, amen. Oh, glory to God. What a Savior. Before man strayed, before man sinned, and before man's separation. Then we see this, before there was a punishment of life, there was a promise of life. Long before there was a punishment, there was already a promise set in place. You see, you got to remember, he's God. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. Amen? He is omnipresent. He's everywhere, under all circumstances, all over the place. Anytime. Never sleeps. Praise God, I'm sure glad that he's not a sleepy God. Praise God for that. I'd wake him up a lot if he was asleep, I want to tell you. You see, Jesus came down preaching in any man's gospel.
That's right.
He said of this holy book right here, the 1611 KJV, he said this about this book. He said, if any man thirst, let him drink of this water. He said, if any man hunger, let him eat of this bread. If you don't believe he meant business, when that woman at the well there in John chapter 4, when Jesus sent the boys down to Long John Silver's to get some hush puppies and fish and so on and so forth, while the Lord sat down on the well curb with this woman, and when they got back, they're walking up looking at one another, talking, saying, what's been going on around here? And I believe Jesus spoke, started singing, Brother Tim. We've been working on a building for my Lord. Hey, it's a Holy Ghost building. I believe that woman dropped her water pots and went away with the whole well, don't you? Hallelujah, what a Savior. I'm talking about before there's ever a punishment of life, there was a promise of life. Amen. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Praise God. See, God doesn't just go along thinking things up as he goes. Amen. I'm glad for that. And I'll tell you right now, he ain't lost none of your files down through the cracks of heaven. They're all right there. Everything's right there. Everything's in place. He is God Almighty. You see, this heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. That's what it is. Praise God. And you know what Jesus said? He come preaching, bring me broken vessels. Yeah. Just bring them in.
That's right.
Bring in broken vessels. You got broken kids? You got broken people in and out of your family? Broken co-workers? Bring them to Jesus. Remember, he's got a master's degree in broken things. He'll take care of business. We try to patch him up and fix him up. We get rid of our pride and lay it upon him. Glory to God, he'll take care of it. He's took care of it for me, and he'll take care of it for you. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Praise God, I'm glad. I wish everybody was. But I want to tell you something. Psalm 57 and 7 says, my heart is fixed. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. I'll sing and give praise. You know what he's saying? The psalmist is saying, God, my heart is fixed. You fix my heart. Now I fix my heart on you. It's fixed on you. I don't see anything else. Like the deacon that walked out of the church one time, and he hadn't been to church very much lately, and the preacher asked him, said, what's your problem? Well, he said, it's just my back. Said, it's just killing me. I can't sit there no hour and a half or 2 hours, three times on Sunday, two times on Sunday and on Wednesday. He said, my back just kills me. And the preacher stepped outside on the porch and heard him talking to another fella. And that fella said to him, hey, Deacon Jones, said, I heard you got your new compound bow in the deer stand. He said, yes, I did. And I sat in that thing Monday for 8.5 hours. The preacher said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You just told me you couldn't come to church, couldn't sit for no hour and a half or 2 hours. He said, oh, preacher, you don't understand. I can get close to God in that deer stand. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You bring a deer stand to church. We'll set it back there and let everybody get a turn in it. If that's what it takes to get you close to God. Hey, we already got boat ramps built. Amen. Praise God. Lord, help us. I'm telling you, but sometimes the foolishness of what we say, sometimes we get caught for not careful. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Praise God. See, listen, guess who gets in? Before there was a punishment of life, there was a promise. You know who can get that promise? Those that would come. It's not a complicated matter. Those that who will. See, if God says, if you will, I will. If you won't, I won't. It's real simmer. It's really, really cut and dry. But he has such a love that he will, like Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Now, if you read that at home. I'm not time to get that. We'll be done here in a minute. Watch here. If that verse right there, when you think about those verses, you'll see the children of Israel say to old Isaiah back there and say to him, say, now, wait a minute. Give us smooth things. Don't rebuke us. No, refine us, dine us, and wine us. Just don't tell us what we need. Just give us some smooth things. And you would think, boy, look like God would grab them and jerk a knot in them. That's what my daddy used to tell me when I got real mean. He'd say, I'm going to jerk a knot in you, boy. You better straighten up. You'd think God would get those kind of people, those people that spit in his face and shake their fists. But you know what God said in verse 18? But God will wait. Now watch now, God will wait that he might be gracious and that he might be exalted and he might have mercy because I am a God of judgment, he said. Hallelujah. Read that. Praise God, that'll preach for a while. I want to tell you, but God waits. He waits on us. But there comes a time when there's a line. Amen. God help us. I'm telling you now, the Lord knows. Listen, those who would come hopeless, those who would confess their helpless estate, those who could claim Christ as head. If he's not the head, you're dead, my friend. That's what operates this body, is the head. That's what operates this body, is this head. Lord have mercy. It's little shortcomings up here, but I want to tell you right now, that's what operates. Nah, my hands won't move unless my brain says so. We're going to get disconnected one of these days, probably. But right now, my head controls. That's the computer of my body. Well, our control is up yonder and in our heart. He's far away, yet so ever so near. Oh, glory to God. Ain't that a blessing to think about that? I'm telling you, and he'll take care of business. Praise God. Isn't it good? Isn't it good? And then this last thing I'd like to bring to you. Before there was ever a hell, there was a heaven. Long before there's ever a hell. You see, the devil got here too late to really own anything. He moved in a little late, you know. And God kicked that rebel out of heaven. He said, there'll not be another one get in. Hallelujah. What about that? You can line that up there. But before there was a hell, there was a heaven. Look here in Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 7. Now get it quick here. Here we go. According as he hath chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now don't let predestination throw you right there. It has nothing to do with lost people. It has to do after you get saved to become in the image of God's son. It speaks for itself. I don't know where they get all that confusing stuff in there just because they want to. I guess. I think they find a gimmick there to learn how to live away from God and close to the devil as they can and still think they're going to heaven. All right, I'll just move along after that. To praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in him whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Praise God, I'm talking about redeemed people here by the blood of Christ. I'm talking about purified people by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. I'm talking about forgiven people. Luke 5 and 21 said, who can forgive sin but God alone? Amen. Take your sins to him. Now, I can forgive you of a lot of stuff, and I will. I'll find a way to forgive you. I will. I'll search everywhere in the world to forgive you. I won't back off from you and say, I ain't going to show my pride. But I'm going to tell you something. I want my pride tucked aside that I forgive you and you forgive me. That's what we've got to do. That's what he did for us. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Wow, there's a lot of stuff went on we didn't know about. And we got in on it. You know that, don't you, folk? We got in on it. And we're in conclusion, we have this right here. I want you to listen to this, if you would, please. We're talking about hell here. Before there was ever a hell, there was a heaven. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here's some things that won't be there. No flowers to bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comfort or home. No music or song. No friendship or joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten the long weary night. No love, no peace, not one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face shining bright. No pity, no pardon, no mercy, no grace. Oh, God, what a horrible place. Oh, the pain of the loss no human can tell. There's not one moment's peace. There's no rest in hell. Oh, what an awful, awful thought that our people are going to go to that horrible, awful place. Going there in that awful place. Like I said, Jesus came preaching and any man's gospel. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Aren't you glad you're new? You've been renewed. Hallelujah. I pray revival strikes here to this church had to build so big Spartanburg would give a parade. It got so big around here and it had to change the road to go around it. Amen. You think that's foolish? That is not foolish at all. I pray that all the time down the road and up the road. I'm telling you right now, praise God, if you've been forgiven, then we're supposed to act like it. I was an old sinner, hell bound, hell belonging, and hell bent. But God caught me. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith he loved us. Aren't you glad he butted in? I'm glad he butted in, aren't you? Praise God, he butted in on me. Right when I wasn't expecting him to butt in, he butted in. Amen. And now I see a lot of this. Sometimes we think some people, they're like this right here, preacher. They'll say, well, I know the preacher said that, but... And I know they sung about that, but, and I know the Bible says that, but you'd think he was living in a goat pen instead of a sheepfold. They butt so much. Oh, Oliver Green had a situation for that. He said, I see some of you around here tonight, and I see you to myself. I see a bunch of billy goats sitting out there. I'll dehorn you before you get out of here. Say, man, God Almighty knows. You hear him say that stuff? He used to scare me. Amen, rightfully so. I want to tell you, folks, so please pray for us. Spend some time praying for us. Talk to God about us. We appreciate you so much. Oh, what a thrill the last couple of years we've got to come. I couldn't come for a few years there. My dad got really bad sick, and I kind of was in charge of taking care of him. And boy, was that ever a task. He slipped on out to glory at 82 years old, an old church planter, 11 churches he helped get started up in West Virginia. And he'd preach up a storm. Boy, he's a preaching machine. And now he's off. Mom's been gone a long time. Dad's gone now. And our folks are dropping out one by one. We're going down the valley one by one, looking for the setting of the sun. Aren't you glad we have a place to go? Aren't you glad when we pull out of here? Oh, my soul, my soul. You might have never shouted here much. You might have never kicked and stomped, spit and snorted. But on the way up, there'd be a lot of things going on. Amen, I'll tell you that. I was out in Fremont, Ohio one time, the Fremont Baptist Temple. They had a tent set up in the back, and it's right not too far from Toledo, just south of Toledo. Had a tent set up back there, probably 150, 200 people. And boy, those trains up there are like in any of the flat ground. Them things run about 80, 90, 95 miles an hour. Six to eight engines pulling 300-400 cars. And boy, when you hear the whistle way down yonder, don't get on the track. They'll be there in just a few minutes. And I'll tell you, and we were behind that train, went by a time or two, and it wasn't no click, 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 like them old coal trains up in West Virginia, click, 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 25 miles an hour with about 100 cars and four engines. No, man, it was, you didn't hear no click, click, it just a streak goes by. And we were preaching, and I preached the last night of the meeting on a Friday night, and boy, at about 8:30, I said, wouldn't it be something if a trumpet would sound, and we'd clear out of here. About that time that train went, whoa. Preacher, you didn't have to give invitation in that one. Hey, they went to slinging song books and throwing hats and waving and kicking chairs, and they acted like this Gateway Bunch. Amen, preacher, come on.